the rest of the story. You must learn to swim. The little boy was continually admonished. Over and over, near tragic mishaps underscored the warning, you must learn to swim. One winter, young Thor was skating on the manor pond, fell through the ice. Friends rushing to the scene were almost too late to save him from drowning. Then there was the summer at Church Bay. Thor, by now terrified of the water, patiently watched from a plank bridge while his friends swam. But wouldn't you know, he fell from the bridge anyway and nearly drowned a second time. In fact, he'd gone under twice before somebody retrieved a life preserver from a nearby bathhouse, pulled him thrashing to shore. You must learn to swim, Thor was told afterward. But he never did. Not even when his father offered to teach him, dangling an increase in the boy's allowance as an incentive. Not even after a professional swimming instructor was employed by the youngster's family for the purpose. Each time the opportunity arose, Thor simply adamantly refused to get in the water. But this is the rest of the story. Now the boy is a man. He's 28. He's on leave from the Air Force on a holiday in Canada. He and two Air Force buddies are canoe tripping in Algonquin National Park, through a region where campers may easily carry their canoes from one lake and stream to the next. Let's stay close to the river bank, Thor suggests anxiously. But the inexperienced airmen, misled by their own map, suddenly find themselves drifting out toward the middle of the river. And then they heard the noise, a din growing louder and louder until it seems all of the world is engulfed by deafening thunder. And then they realize, directly ahead of them, where the river appears to vanish, is the most treacherous natural phenomenon within 1,000 miles. The High Falls, a towering cataract that devours floating trees and spits out matchsticks, a high-speed ride straight down from which nobody ever returned. And now the undertow seizes the airmen's canoe. Now the canoe capsizes. Thor's friends, swimming against the raging current with all of their might, made it to shore. But Thor, clinging to the overturned craft, which is now less than 100 yards from the falls, does the only thing left for him to do, something he has not done in a very long time. He prays. He prays. And at once he is overcome by calm, an almost eerie calm. Whereupon he shoves his body free from the doomed canoe and does something he's never done in his entire life. He swims. He swims. His strokes are short and desperate at first, and then long, powerful, increasingly effective. Ever so gradually, the riverbank draws nearer, and at last Thor is safe and in the company of his cheering comrades. He's made the most important passage of his life, without which none of the others would ever have been. For one day, the Norwegian airman who nearly drowned 3 times before the age of 30 built a tiny craft and departed the Peruvian shore and headed for Easter Island, an ocean away. And 101 days and 4,300 miles later, he made history. The world knows and honors the incredible accomplishment of explorer Thor Heyerdahl and his little craft, the Kon-Tiki. But now you've relived the previous voyage that made possible that historic one. Now you know the rest of the story.